Welcome back, Pocket Change listeners. Thank you for taking the time to join us today. Today we're going to talk about the horrible C word. That's right. Conflict. I always love putting people on edge a little bit, you know? Good. So let's talk a little bit about conflict. Conflict is something that I am a big fan of. I think it is a really productive tool to drive organizations and institutions forward. I think it enables us to see the world through a different lens, and it can be applied in a number of different situations. And of course, we are forever in conflict. I think we're in conflict internally, externally. I think we have conflict in our institutions and organizations because we are made up of hundreds of different people. And, you know, when we think about our internal dialogue and the things that drive us to behave, I think internal conflict is also a great thing because it's a source of human interaction. It's what allows us to think about the things that we deem to be undiscussable. And if we're in a psychologically safe environment, we put those ideas out there and we run the risk of changing the world. How amazing is that? But when we come into conflict, you know, I think it's important for us to remember that it happens because people have different points of view. We communicate differently. We have varying levels of resilience and we have expectations, but we might not have shared those expectations. You know, I once went and I had a chit chat with a psychologist that I was spending some time with as I was going through a large transition in my life. And one of the things she said to me was, "Wow, you have really high expectations of other people." And I said to her, "Yeah, isn't that the way it goes?" And she said, "No, that is not the way it goes." And I said, "What do you mean that's not the way it goes? How do you actually get anything done in life if you don't have expectations of other people?" And she said, "I think what that does for you is it allows you to feel a high degree of conflict and allows you to be let down a lot of the time." And that was a really profound realization for me that, you know, how we choose to engage with and share our intent and expectations with other people is so beautifully profound. And I think that what I took away from that was how to articulate my needs and how to clarify my specific expectations of other people if I have them. And then conversely, it led me down the pathway of, do I have the right to have expectations with people who aren't in my immediate sphere of influence or care? You know, for example, my expectations of my daughter, I think that's pretty reasonable. But what that conversation did was it enabled me to articulate what I needed and what my expectations truly were. And so that was really powerful because what it did was that realization alone eliminated a high degree of conflict in my life right off the bat because I was able to make a decision and I was able to articulate and speak. You know, there are positives about conflict and, you know, it doesn't always need to be negative. When people can challenge each other's ideas in supportive environments, new ideas are generated. I think if you were to look in any tech boardroom where you're seeing high degrees of change, whether that's through AI or, you know, even Samsung or Apple, you probably have some fairly contentious people having fairly contentious conversations to drive technology to the new heights that we're seeing. I think it's really important to recognize that conflict is simply just something that we will always work with. It's something that will always exist. It'll always exist on teams, that's for sure. I think really what it comes down to is having the right skill level to manage conflict and turn those disagreements into ideas and those ideas into something that you can implement. And I think that, you know, listening is a really large piece of that, and listening to understand, not to respond. And I think that there's a lack of humility in some cases where a leader needs to always be right, or a certain person or a certain discipline always needs to be right. And that just simply is not the case. It comes down to the fact that other people can be right. Other people will be right. And taking the time to really listen and understand and read between the lines sometimes, because again, people communicate differently. I guess I should also mention, I am a certified conflict resolutionist. I have been educated and have been mediating conflict since 2007. And that is something that I got through the Justice Institute of British Columbia. And it's something that has served me in my career very, very well. When we think about conflict, you know, there are two different types. Of course, you have your healthy conflict, but you also have damaging conflict. Healthy conflict presents itself as people sharing ideas. It's creating creative tension to drive change or adapt a new way of thinking, behaving, or believing. Fundamentally, conflict is the source of change management and change leadership. It can include things like speaking the unspeakable, so the source of human interaction, our own internal dialogue, bringing that forward to bring workplace issues to light, or maybe even create a better working environment, create cohesion, drive better process. One thing that I would say is that healthy conflict is communicated with a sense of purpose and passion. It is never presented with disrespect, and there is always a positive intent behind it. It always happens in good faith. Right. And I think we know when somebody's bringing conflict to the table in good faith. Damaging conflict, of course, is far less productive and includes things like third party checking. For those of you who don't know what third party checking is, it is where instead of going and having a conversation directly with somebody, I go and I have a conversation with a third party and say, what do you think about this? And, you know, it equates itself almost to gossip, where you're going out and instead of going to the horse's mouth, you're going to the horse's trainer and you're saying, hey, horse's trainer, what do you think about this? And it almost gains this momentum that you just don't want. It also includes things like personal attacks, gaslighting, you know, telling people, oh, no, that's not how it went. It was this, right? Instead of having humility and saying, oh, actually, you know, I misinterpreted it. And while I was doing my third party checking, I lit this haystack on fire over here, right? Accountability is a huge piece of managing conflict. Things like isolation tactics, I've seen this in play quite significantly in the workplace. It's very damaging, especially when we have people who are in remote locations, who are working in camps or working away from home. And even in the remote work environment, it can be really isolating already. And then to have some type of conflict that draws you further away from your colleagues can be even more damaging. And then, of course, name calling. We just should probably stay away from that. We're grown people, right? Like, let's get on the bus and just be normal human beings. You know, the downside of damaging conflict is it facilitates rumors, it introduces risk into your operation, and it eliminates a culture of mutual respect. It kills psychological safety. It doesn't exist. It cannot exist in an environment where you are allowing conflict to reign. It can be very damaging for your organization and for the mental health of your team. And so when you think about this and you think about managing conflict, it's one of those things where you need to be taking note and paying attention. Intuitively, I think we can all feel when an exchange has happened, when we feel conflict brewing. And sometimes it isn't obvious, but there's that gut feeling that maybe something happened. You know, we have this tool called the sliding scale of conflict at Helios. And what we do is we train leaders on how to understand the different points of conflict. And so when we think about this, we go from discomfort to incident, from incident to misunderstanding, misunderstanding to tension, and tension to crisis. We have worksheets, we have different conversation starters, we have dialogue and facilitation around this, and would encourage you, if this is something that interests you, to reach out and have a conversation with us. It's something that we spend a lot of time working with teams on. But I think it's taking the point to say, I felt really uncomfortable about what just happened, and there's discomfort there, to go and have a conversation with somebody and say, hey, you know what? I felt some kind of way about this, and I just wanted to check in with you. If you can do that, you can stop conflict from becoming what it shouldn't be. In our workshops, we also talk about the different styles of conflict. We talk about the avoider. We talk about the collaborator. We talk about the competitor, also known as the forcer, the accommodator. And we also talk about the compromiser. We help folks go through an assessment, walk through it, and understand where their predominant styles are. And I think what's really important to recognize is that every style has a time and purpose. There is no wrong style when it comes to how we deal with conflict. It's about going through and pulling the right style for the right circumstance. And that's something that I've spent a lot of my time in my career understanding. I remember when I did my first conflict assessment in 2007, I was a compromising collaborator who sometimes forced and never avoided. Accommodation, it comes and goes, but I think that where I am at right now is I'm a compromising collaborator who sometimes forces, occasionally avoids, and sometimes accommodates. right? As we improve and grow within our emotional and social context of who we are, our intelligence in these spaces, we naturally mature. We also receive feedback from people, right? Feedback is one of those things that, you know, it if we choose to receive it, again, we come to choice. Feedback is one of those things we can choose to accept or reject it. Recognizing where the feedback comes from either produces or eliminates conflict internally. And sometimes we don't like hearing what people have to say to us. But when we open that Johari window up and we receive that feedback with good faith, and we say, this person really isn't trying to hurt my feelings. They're trying to make me a better leader or a better person or a better team member. It changes the way that we approach conflict. Because, you know, there are certain people where if they provided me feedback, I would disregard it immediately. Would I become high conflict? No. Very, very few people can put me into a space where I'm going to be high conflict. Very few. But that's because I've put the work in. I've learned how to manage conflict. I've learned how to manage my emotional regulation, right? When we think about this, conflict is stimulated and managed through how resilient we are. So we come back to our resiliency factors, always, always. Those are the foundation of who we are as people, our problem solving, our empathy, our emotional regulation, and our self-confidence. And all of the things that we learn, how we behave, how we choose to embrace conflict, how we choose to develop trust in others, how we choose to converse with people, how we choose to follow through on what it is that we say we're going to do, all comes through that space. And so, you know, I remember I sat down with an executive coach. I was given an executive coach at, I don't want to say about 27, 28 years old. And when she sat down with me, we had a couple of conversations and she looked at me and she said, "Why are you always a warrior?" And I was so grossly offended because who I had been to that point had to be a warrior. And instead of choosing to have conflict with this woman, I took her feedback. I disregarded her feedback to a certain extent, and then I never spoke to her again. I went into pure avoidance mode. I thought to myself, you know, how rude of her to just disregard everything that I had ever been through in my entire life and the purpose of who I was and how I was. And instead of saying to me, you know, I recognize that you seem to run toward the roar quite often and that you really do put other people ahead of yourself. Can you tell me a little bit about that? She didn't take the time to get to know who I was. And so she immediately put me into a high conflict circumstance. And so I disengaged because it made me so uncomfortable. And now if you were to sit down with me, yeah, I'm probably still a bit of a warrior, but I wear a different outfit and don't always wear a sword and a shield, right? Because influence doesn't always have to come through fighting. You know, Sun Tzu said, in all fighting, the direct method may be used for joining battle, but indirect methods will be needed in order to secure victory. Sometimes you just need to use reason over power. And when it comes down to managing conflict, sometimes that's all it takes. We have two ears and one mouth for a reason. Let me know how this resonated with you, listeners. And as always, if you have a question, if you have any content you'd like to see us feature, anyone you'd like to see us have on the podcast, reach out. A call doesn't cost a thing.